Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas, at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for, well, an intelligence briefing on what I call the war for the free world. And I'm thrilled that we have an opportunity to take a full hour to examine one facet of this war in detail with someone who has studied it closely and, I think, more insightfully than anyone I can think of. She is Diana West, a regular here at Secure Freedom Radio, a syndicated columnist. You can find her collected works at dianawest.net. Her writings extend to two superb books. The first, The Death of the Grown-Up, How America's Arrested Development is Bringing Down Western Civilization. The second, the subject of this conversation primarily, American Betrayal, The Secret Assault on Our Nation's Character. Diana West, welcome to Secure Freedom Radio.
Thank you, Frank.
Diana, we have enjoyed enormously, I think I myself and the royal we, the Secure Freedom Radio family, the Center for Security Policy, which sponsors this program, the work that you've done with American Betrayal. Talk a little bit about the thesis of the book and what insights you gleaned from your deep study of what happened to the United States as it tried to deal with and, well, accommodate Soviet communism.
Dealing with the Soviet Union, this abnormal country that came to be dedicated to world revolution, is something we've talked about, you and I, over this past year, particularly because we had that 80th anniversary of normalization of relations between the United States and the Soviet Union, that for me is such a big linchpin of what happened next. Because here we have the United States accepting an abnormal nation as a normal partner, which entailed all manner of official lying. And we could have a whole show about what exactly went into that agreement. And indeed, we had a conference last November to mark the 80th anniversary.
Well, talk about it briefly. What was involved? What did Franklin Roosevelt do by way of a kind of Faustian deal?
Well, the basic point of agreement was that the Soviet Union promised on a piece of paper in 1933 not to try to subvert and overthrow the United States, specifically not to support cadres of secret agents in this country to do exactly that.
Something it had been doing up to that point.
Yes, it had been doing in every country it could get its agents into, and certainly that included the United States. And once this agreement was signed and the Soviet Union was a partner and accepted into the family of nations, this became easy as pie to infiltrate what we come up with, many hundreds of agents, American traitors loyal to Moscow, working at various levels of the government, working at various levels of competency, various levels of success, but working with a Soviet end in mind in federal government and other institutions covertly.
All of our civil society institutions as well.
All of our civil society institutions, from culture, theater, publishing, to religious groups, schools, etc. I mean, this was a mass invasion, a secret invasion, an invasion that did not involve violence, but an invasion, a covert invasion. So this is what we're looking at in the 1930s.
And your book chronicles the nature of that invasion, identifies a number of the individuals involved, lays out at great length the documentation that you and others have uncovered that makes clear both their loyalties and the subversive role that they were playing. And yet the betrayal piece comes in, Diana, where the U.S. government under Franklin Roosevelt fails to acknowledge, let alone prevent, this kind of insidious and seditious activity. Talk about that.
Sure, and indeed enables it. And I would just correct you slightly on one point. I don't actually identify any of these people. They've been identified. What I'm looking at is the archival evidence, the testimonies to Congress, the memoirs, letters. I mean, I'm looking at an open record that exists and trying to make sense of it in what does turn out to be a new way. A disturbing way.
Yeah. I take the point. I didn't mean to suggest that you were necessarily exposing people, but you were compiling
in
an extraordinarily powerful way the body of evidence that has largely, not entirely, but largely been ignored, certainly in terms of the damage done by these individuals, not as individuals, but as a collective.
As a collective and as an influential collective, what we've done as for the most part in terms of reassessing this period and trying to understand it has been simply to examine what secrets were stolen, what conversations and secret plans were overheard and passed to the enemy. This is just the tip of a proverbial iceberg. What is much more interesting and disturbing and horrific indeed to me is the influence that these operators had on American policy. Indeed, on the American character, I mean, that's the subtitle of the book, The Secret Assault on Our Nation's Character. This relationship and this accommodation, enablement, and indeed, ultimately, collusion with Soviet communism changed America, changed our direction, subverted our republic completely, and we're still dealing with these terrible events that have not yet been reckoned with. And so in many ways, American betrayal is this reckoning. It applies today because we are watching many of the same patterns repeat with a new ideology, not communist ideology, which has not gone away. It's not like one ends and the other begins. We are still enveloped. But we are watching an Islamic ideology also very insidiously come into our fibers, into our institutional fibers, our governmental, security, cultural fibers in a similar way, something very foreign and hostile to our constitutional principles.
And this is the subject of the most of the rest of our conversation, Diana West, because you've written a brilliant piece that I think very powerfully connects the dots. You do it at much greater length, of course, in American Betrayal, The Secret Assault on Our Nation's Character. But your latest column, I believe, at Town Hall and, of course, at DianaWest.net is really a very, very masterful sort of distillation of these points of what happened before and what is happening now. But before we leave the before, I just want to drive home a couple of things that you've described, because it's so material to our understanding of what's happening at the moment. Talk, if you would, Diana, briefly about the implications of this penetration, this subversion, this accommodation, this denial of what was happening vis-a-vis the Soviet inroads into our government in the course of World War II.
Well, what we're looking at, this is what is probably most shocking to the modern sensibility, because, of course, we look back on World War II as a morally picture-perfect endeavor that, of course, rid the world of the Nazi Reich. However, when you open up you pull back the camera, if you want to use a visual metaphor, and you see what else had happened at that exact moment the Nazi Reich had been vanquished, we have the communist empire, the evil empire, suddenly engorged with half of Europe, and you have communist forces shortly poised to take over much of Asia, including, of course, China. So this is, to me, becomes at the very least a rather mixed notion of victory. I actually find it to be a terrible defeat for liberty to have so many people under the yoke of repression, very similar to Nazism, and indeed killed many more people over the next 80 years or 50 years, 40 years.
And what you describe in American Betrayal, of course, is how this happened. And just say a word about that, because I think this is such a critical point to our own time.
Yes, well, this is a thank you, because it's something that does get lost in some of the details. The main point here is that when we look back at the agents and agents of influence inside the United States government covertly working for Moscow, for example, Alger Hiss being probably the most famous name among them, but only one, we are not looking at the influence on policy that he exerted. We're looking at the secrets he passed, we mentioned that a little earlier.
Diana, hold this thought, because we're going to have to pause and just, I want to come back and talk about how American military as well as strategic purposes were influenced and subverted by these communists in a way that is stunningly reminiscent to what I believe is happening at the hands of the Muslim Brotherhood and others in our government today. That and more with syndicated columnist Diana West, straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.